Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Speak, you know, on the subject of faith. And very quickly, I just have a few quotes that I want to read to us. A few quotes, and I really want us to listen because they actually really, you know, struck a chord in me. And so the first quote here is by John Bunyan. I might not really pronounce the name well, but that's it. And he said, I've given him my faith and sworn my allegiance to him. How then can I go back from this and not be hanged as a traitor? I'll read it again. I have given him my faith and sworn my allegiance to him. How then can I go back from this and not be hanged as a traitor? That's what he said. Now look at what John Piper said. He said, if by faith you are in Christ, God is as much for you in Christ as he will ever be or could ever be. That's John Piper. Smith Wigglesworth said, if you wait until you need faith and then try to get it, you waited too late. I'm going to read that again. If you wait until you need faith and then you try to get it, you waited too late. This is what A.W. Tozer said. He said, true faith rests upon the character of God and asks no further proof than the moral perfections of the one who cannot lie. That's A.W. Tozer. Another quote, he says, faith is like a radar that sees through the fog. Faith is like a radar that sees through the fog the realities of things at a distance that the human eye cannot see. I believe that's very important. That's very vital. And that's by Corrie ten Boom. This is what Bishop David Oyedepo said. He says, life is not a funfair. We know that. Life is a warfare. Life is not a funfair. Life is a warfare. And lastly, P.C. Nelson said, constantly feed along the lines of faith and healing. Constantly feed along the lines of faith and healing. A day will come when you will either need faith for your own healing or the healing of a loved one. And if your faith has not been kept strong in that area, you will be at a disadvantage. That's P.C. Nelson. P.C. Nelson. And so I was saying earlier that, you know, we can never really get to that stage in our lives where you say, oh, I've outgrown faith teachings. I'm going to stop reading my Bible. And, you know, things like that. You know, faith cometh by hearing and by hearing. And, you know, if the writer of Romans, that's Paul, wanted to keep writing and writing it, really, he would have used the entire Bible to write faith cometh by hearing and 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 all that. But we get the concept. And you see, this Christian journey we're on, It's a journey of faith. The race that we are running is a race of faith. The Christian lifestyle that we are living, it's a lifestyle of faith. Scripture says that the just shall live by faith. Actually, the just shall live by his own faith, not by somebody else's faith. The just shall live by faith. So it's a lifestyle of faith. It's a lifestyle of faith. And Hebrews 11 verse 6 says that for without faith, it is impossible to please God. You cannot please God without faith. If everything you're doing and all that, if maybe you come to church, you serve in God's kingdom and, you know, all that. And, you know, there's no atom of faith in what you're doing. It's not backed up by faith. Then you're not pleasing God. That's what it says. Say, without faith, it is impossible to give and to please God. If you are the one that gives all your resources and all that, and, you know, it's not backed up by faith, then you're not pleasing God in that process. Also, the fight of faith is a good... I read a quote for us by Bishop David Oyedepo, and he said, life is not a fun phase, a warfare. So this warfare that we are fighting on earth is a warfare of faith. Paul told Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Fight, and it's a good fight, really. And, you know, I've been attending Rema classes and all that, and, you know, the Rema director, also, you know, he said something one time. He said, how do you know that it's a good fight? Because, I mean, you know, the concept that comes to mind when people say fight is that you are fighting your enemy and all that. Or, I don't know how people interpret it. Maybe when Paul said, fight a good fight of faith, you probably thought that is to fight your enemies. But you know, you're not really fighting your enemies, right? Because you're not really fighting the devil, because the devil has been defeated. You're not fighting sin, because the power of sin was broken, was destroyed on the cross. It says, fight the good fight of faith. The good fight that he's talking about is the fight of faith. And it's a good fight and all. And then also, Jesus told Peter one time, he says, when I come, he said, shall I find faith? That's to tell you that faith is actually very important and all that. We cannot outgrow teachings of faith. And really, why would I want to expend my resources or waste my time looking for something that is not important? Jesus said, when I come, shall I find faith? That's to tell you how vital faith is. And I just want to say this one here, and then maybe we can read about it. I believe that the flip side of faith is actually pride. We'll be opening quite a number of scriptures today, actually. The flip side of faith, I believe that it is pride. You can go ahead and do your further study. But let's look at Proverbs 3, 5 to 7, actually. Proverbs 3, 5 to 7 is a very popular scripture. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and shall direct thy paths. And it says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Look at the first one there, the second line in verse 5. After trusting the Lord with all thine heart, it says, lean not unto thine own understanding. So when God gives you an instruction, when the word of God comes to you and you decide to do something else, that's pride. Because you see, faith is dependence and a total reliance on the word of God. So whereby you don't obey the instructions of God or you decide to do your own thing, I believe that's pride. That's pride. If you're not dependent on your God, then you're dependent on yourself and all that. And anything that points to you is actually pride. But then again, I said that we can go ahead and do our further study. So we'll be looking at 4 subtopics today in the course of this sermon. And the first one is what faith is. The second one is the source of faith. The third one is why your faith may not work. And the fourth one is how to get your faith working. So the first one, what faith is. And you know, from the little I've learned, if you want to know what something is, then you need to know what it is not. If you want to know what is obtainable at the Harvest Word Assembly, then you need to know what is not obtainable. If you want to know your abilities, you need to know your inabilities, the things that you cannot do. If you want to know what I like, you need to know, you know, what I don't like and everything. So let's just go ahead. The first one, what faith is not. Firstly, let's read Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Hebrews 11, 1. Very popular scripture. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. I want us to actually open it. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I actually want to read this in about 3 other versions. So KJV says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amplified Classic says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Message says the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we cannot see or what we can't see. Lastly, New Living Translation says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Now, the first thing about what faith is not is that faith does not point to the future. And I'll just list out this point. And when I get to what faith is, I would, say more about this point. But the first thing here is that faith does not point to the future. Scripture just says here, now faith is. That's what scripture says. Faith does not point to the future. The second one is that faith is not mental agreement. I'll explain this. Faith is not mental agreement. The third one is faith is not possibility thinking or positive speaking. See, we have reduced faith to all of those, when I wake up in the morning, I speak positively, into the universe and, things like that. That is not what faith is. Faith goes beyond that. Faith goes beyond that. Number four is that faith is not common sense or the application of human wisdom. Faith is not common sense or the application of human wisdom. When the word of God comes to us sometimes, you want to, you know, attach it or want to use common sense and all that. I heard about a story recently. Actually, not a story. It's a true life story, really. Bishop Olushola Ariogun, you know, he just finished, you know, him and the wife just completed their house. You know, everything was there. Everything was set, kitchen, the rooms, everything. Just completed their house and all that. And then the word of God came to him and said that he should leave that place. I mean, I just spent my money to complete a house. And then God is now telling me to leave there. I mean, does that make sense? But you see, some of us want to say, you know what, we just moved into our house. This is our first house. We never really had the opportunity to have stay in our own house or to build a house and all that. You know, let's just stay here for 1 week or for 1 month. Let's have that feeling of what it is to, you know, to own a house and all that. Or some of us might say, okay, you know, let's just stay here for a week. Let's see if we can get a buyer and all those things. But you see, Bishop Ariogun said that when the word of God came to him, when that instruction came, he said that he obeyed immediately and they never went to that house again. Faith is not common sense. When the word of God comes to you, you obey, and he says, do this thing now. You obey immediately. So it's not common sense. We don't attach common sense to faith. Okay, let's go on. Faith is not believing blindly. Like I said, I'll explain all these points when we get to what faith is. Faith is not believing blindly. Neither is it a walk in the dark or a leap in the dark. I'll explain that. Number six, faith is not natural bravery. It's not natural bravery. We don't equate natural bravery to faith. If it were so, then maybe, you know, people that are naturally brave will probably be believers if we're equating faith to natural bravery. But that's not what faith is. Also, faith is not willpower. Willpower and faith, they are two different things. They are two different things. Faith is not a wish. It's not an aspiration. It's not a hope. It's not a desire. I'll explain that. It's not, you know, all of those things. Okay? Faith is different from hope. And we see this clearly in Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Also, faith is not a feeling. Number nine, faith is not a feeling. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is not a feeling. They are two different things. They are two different terms. Okay, let's go on to what faith is and, you know, a few things about faith. What faith is. Firstly, let's read from 1 Timothy 3 and verse 9. Don't worry, I'll open it from my end here. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 9. And I'll read this in KJV. 1 Timothy 3:9. It says, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Now, faith is a mystery. Faith is a kingdom mystery. We just listed out a few things on what faith is not. Faith is a kingdom mystery. The Bible says it here clearly, that holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Faith is not a theory. It's not a natural principle. It's not a physical force. We don't equate faith to all of these things, natural phenomenon and all of that. Faith draws its power. Faith draws its virtue from the sovereignty of God to bring out supernatural results. It's a mystery. It's something that we can't, you know, we can't just explain away. Faith is a mystery. It's a kingdom mystery. It's a kingdom mystery. You see, faith invokes the hand of God and compels him to move. Faith invokes the hand of God and compels him to move. It taps, you know, into the power of God to cause the enemies to be silent and then to cause men to stand in awe of God. That's what faith is. Look at the woman, you know, with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of blood. Scripture said that she said to her heart that if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And, you know, scripture said that she had to struggle her way through the crowd. And then, you know, she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And then Jesus turned around. And the Bible said that she was healed of that plague. And then Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? I know the disciples were saying that, so many people are here, they are probably trying to touch you and things like that. And then Jesus said, no. He said, who touched me? Because virtue came out of me. How can scientists explain what happened there? How can gravitational force or frictional force and all of those forces that we learned in physics, how can they explain what happened, the transaction that happened between that woman and Jesus? We can't explain it. It's not a physical force. It's not a physical force. It's not the force of friction at all. How do you explain, you know, when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den? It wasn't one lion that was there. There were many lions there. And he wasn't there for a second. He wasn't there for a minute. He wasn't there for an hour. How do you explain what happened? That the fact that he came out unhurt, he came out unscathed, like nothing, absolutely nothing whatsoever happened to him. How can we explain it? Because lions are carnivorous animals. And when I come across humans, we know what happened. But how can we explain that? Faith is a mystery. How do you explain the fact that the three Hebrew boys told Nebuchadnezzar and said that, you see, this thing that you have made, we are not going to bow down to worship them and all that. If we are thrown into the burning fiery furnace, if God decides to save us, so be it. If he doesn't, so be it. And these guys were thrown into the lion's den, into the burning fiery furnace. Nothing happened to them. They were not even smelling of smoke at all, at all. How do you explain that? How do you explain that? Scientists might try, but you will fail, really. You can't explain it. Faith is a mystery of the kingdom. It's a supernatural force. It has its origin in the realm of the supernatural. That's what faith is. Secondly, faith surpasses all belief systems. You see, we have so much faith in, academics. And I'm not trying to say that it's not good to, you know, further your academics and things like that. That's not the point. I'm saying that faith surpasses all belief systems. We have so much faith in mathematics that we want to do masters, we want to do PhD and postgrad and postgrad and postgrad. We want to do physics and want to, you know, further education. We know that when we try to connect this wire and we try to connect this cable, light will definitely show up or power will definitely show up. We have so much belief in all these things. But when it comes to the word of God, we are slack. Faith surpasses all belief systems. It surpasses all belief systems. And you know one very powerful thing about God's word, because faith has its origin in God's word, is the fact that God's word, when you take the word of God to Jupiter, when you take the word of God to the moon, when you take the word of God to planet Mars, when you take the word of God to Mercury, to Saturn, and Orion and Pluto, and all, the word of God still remains the same and to still do the same job. That's the word of God. But you see, gravitational force here on Earth will not work in Pluto. It won't. The law of thermodynamics will not work in Pluto. Faith surpasses all belief systems. And you see, you cannot downgrade and upgrade the word of God. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can't do that. You see, but with all of these scientific laws, in the future, one scientist can come and say that, he wants to disprove the fact that this cannot be this. You cannot do that with the word of God. You can't. There's no upgrade. There's no downgrade to the word of God. It's the same. It does, when you take the word of God anywhere on this earth and anywhere in this universe, it does the same job. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go ahead. Faith is a living supernatural force that grows. Faith is a living supernatural force that grows. And let's take note of the word living and of the word grows. Faith is a living supernatural force that grows. It has in it the ability to grow. When we all came into the kingdom, we're all given a measure of faith. And that faith is not supposed to remain the same way. It is living. One of the characteristics of living thing is that thing must grow. So faith must grow. It's a living supernatural force that grows. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. It says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other that aboundeth." Faith grows, and God is happy when our faith grows. God is excited when our faith grows. Number four, the revelation of Christ is the fuel of faith. Let's look at Acts 8:30-31. Acts 8:30-31, I want to show us a story there between Philip and the eunuch. He says, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? How can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Let's take note of that. Philip preached unto the eunuch Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible said that Philip preached Jesus Christ unto this man, unto the eunuch. And he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe the revelation of Jesus Christ is the fuel for faith. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the fuel for faith. Let's go ahead. The level of your faith is the level of your victory in life. The level of your faith is the level of your victory in life. The Bible says in 1 John 5:4, I think this is how New King James Version puts it. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. If you have sufficient level of revelation in the aspect of healing, then you'll be victorious in that area. If you have sufficient revelation of the word of God in the aspect of supply, finances, then you'll be victorious in that area. You see, but the word of God has provided everything for us. So we're not to just stick to one area. Because it is possible that you'll be victorious in your health. And then, you know, you might have financial challenges. That's very possible. It's possible that you might have financial challenges and then you're living healthy. And all that. But God wants us to be victorious in every sphere of life. So the level of your faith is the level of your victory in life. Let's go on. Faith takes what belongs to you now. Faith takes what belongs to you now. We read it clearly in Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is. Faith does not say, I am going to. Faith does not say, you know, one day in this Nigeria, I go make up. That's not what faith is. Faith is operational in the present. Faith is operational in the now. It takes what belongs to you now. It takes what belongs to you now. In the name of Jesus, I receive this now according to the word of God in this place. That's what faith is. It takes it now. It's not futuristic. That's not what faith is. Let's go on. Number 7, faith gives substance to hope. We saw it there. So faith is the substance of the things that we hope for. And I said earlier that faith is like a desire. Faith is like, you know, your aspiration. Faith is like a wish. And all that, but that's not what faith is. They are two completely different terms. The difference is that faith takes it now, but hope says, you know, hope points to the future. And we're not trying to devalue the necessity of hope. Because Mark 11:24 says that, what things soever you desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and then you shall have them. So it begins with hope. It begins with a desire. But you see, we're not to end there. We're not to end there. We are people of faith and we take what belongs to us now. That's it. So let your faith give substance to hope. Number 8, faith is a kingdom profession. It's not possibility thinking. It's not positive mentality. It's not, you know, today I speak big, today I profess big, today I live big, you know, all those things. And all that. It's a kingdom profession. Paul told Timothy, he said, hold fast the profession of your faith. I didn't quote the entire scripture. Hold fast the profession of your faith. It's not a positive speaking, rhyming technology. And I've heard all of those things. I did a bit of, you know, network marketing a few years back and all that. And you hear a lot of things and they sound good. Pastor Winger always said that all those things sound good. All these motivational quotes and things like that. And there was one I heard. I can't remember. Something about the future of your something. Everything was, they rhymed, and I loved it. I'm like, wow, this is a revelation. and all that. And that time I was still active on Facebook. So I just went there and put it on my Facebook page. And I got a lot of comments and a lot of likes. And I was happy with myself. As if the quotes came from me. It didn't come from me. It came from somebody else. But that's not what faith is. And all that. Faith is a kingdom profession. It goes beyond all those, you know, positive speaking. And those things are good, like I said. But that's not, let's not equate faith to all of those things. It's a kingdom profession. Next, faith is of the heart and not the head. Faith is of the heart and not the head. We said earlier that faith is not mental assent. It's not mental agreement. It's of the heart and not the head. The Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 10, it says, "For with the heart the man believeth." The heart, not the head. Not the head. It's not mental. It's not mental agreement. It's not mental assent. It's not. It's not all of those things. And you see, I've been privileged, to go, for, evangelism and all that. And I've met, quite a number of people. And you ask them, are you a Christian? When did you give your life to Christ? Are you born again? They tell you yes and all that. And we're not disputing that fact, right? You see, but when you try to engage these people on, what rightly belongs to them, that's where they miss it and all that. They believe that Jesus Christ is the Odogwu healer. Jesus Christ now Odogwu. And you know, see all those miracles where you do for Bible and all of those things. They see all those things. He's a great physician. They know. And all that. But when you now challenge them concerning their personal lives, that's where they just miss it. They don't have that revelation. The word of God has not gained ground in their spirits. So it's still here. It's not mental assent. We don't agree mentally to the word of God with our mouths, also with our heads. It's not mental agreements. Faith is of the heart. Faith is a strong, this is number 10, I believe. Faith is a strong conviction and persuasion that one has about the word of God. Faith is a strong persuasion and conviction that one has about the word of God. Faith is not a feeling. That's what we said earlier, what faith is not. It's not a feeling. Feelings are fickle. Feelings cannot be trusted. Feelings are unstable. Another, feelings are based on what you can see with your physical eyes. They are based on what you can hear. They are based on what, the economy is telling you. One day, you can be happy. The next minute, you're very moody. Those are feelings. But faith is a strong conviction that we have about the word of God. Next, faith is working in the light of God's word. You hear people say, there was light at the end of the tunnel. There was no darkness all through. Now you were acting on the word of God. And the word of God is light. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in the beginning was the word of God, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was with the beginning in God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And this life, again, referring back to the word of God, was the light of men. You are not walking in the dark when it comes to faith. There's a word that you have in your spirit that is guiding you, and you are moving on the basis of that word. It's not light in the dark. You're not walking in the dark. You're not taking a leap in the dark. The Bible says the entrance of the word of God giveth light and understanding to the simple. The Bible also says that the steps of a righteous man, how can God be leading you in darkness? Like, I don't get it. But the steps of the righteous man are ordered by God. It's not a leap in the dark. Next, faith is trusting in God's ability. I said it earlier that faith is not willpower. There are two different terms. The difference is that with faith, you're trusting in God. But willpower, you're trusting in just your ability. And you see, the danger of trusting in your ability, your willpower, is that when Satan decides to open that person's file, you have no word of God to stand on. There's no anchor and all that. And so your willpower will completely crash. That's the difference between faith and willpower. But you see, when you have faith in God, the storms of life will come, the pressures of life will come, and then you'll still be standing. Because why? You are your anchor is on the word, not on your willpower. Let's go to the second one, the second subtopic I have. Source of faith, Romans 10:17. We'll also read this in a few versions. Romans 10:17. Everybody knows the scripture. Romans 10:17. It says, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We quoted this scripture earlier. Faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing by the word of God. New Living Translation says, so faith comes from hearing, that is hearing the good news about Christ. Faith comes from hearing, that is hearing the good news about Christ. Amplified Classic says, so faith comes by hearing what is told. What and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that comes from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself. And then message says, just give me a second. Give me a second to get that open. Message said, the point is, before you trust, you have to listen. Before you trust, you have to listen. Again, faith is dependent on our intimacy with God. Before you trust, you have to listen. But unless Christ's word is preached, there is nothing to listen to. Unless Christ's word is preached, there is nothing to listen to. And let me say a few things. Yeah. Firstly, don't base your faith on people's actions. Do not base your faith on people's actions. Faith will never get its origin from people's actions. And let me explain. Let's say Mrs. A is believing God for the fruit of the womb, and then, you know, Mrs. B, conceived after, 9 years of waiting. And, you know, they get talking and all that. And, you know, Mrs. B is just gisting, you know, about the faithfulness of God and things like that. I will thank God, you know, eventually after 9 years of waiting and things like that. Man, I did a lot of things. Can you imagine? I was even withdrawing 50K from my account, you know, every month. And I was giving to the beggars in Ojuelegba Bridge. You know, I did this, I did that and that and that and that. Now, Mrs. A, because she's not probably well informed, the only thing that she's hearing is that this woman actually picked 50K from her account and she was giving to the beggars in Ojuelegba Bridge. That's where her faith is hinged on. But you see, don't base your faith upon things like that. Don't. The source of faith is the word of God. That's why you should go back to the word of God yourself and get light for yourself. Get revelation knowledge for yourself. And you see, another thing that people can actually pick out of that is that, that means I need to bribe God before I can conceive. That's a very wrong mentality. You're entering into works by doing that. You're entering into dead works by doing that. It's your right to conceive. It's in the Bible. It's in the scripture. It's your rights. It's your covenant rights. We don't pay God to give us children. We don't pay God to give us jobs. We don't pay God for promotion and things like that. So do not base your faith on the actions of people. Now, am I saying that sowing is wrong? Absolutely not. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying do not base your faith on people's actions. The origin of faith will always and forever be in the word of God. Hallelujah. Another thing I'd like to say is that the source of faith is not in prayer. The source of faith is not, you don't get faith from prayer. You don't get faith from praying in tongues. Jude 20. Now, some people have actually, misconstrued that scripture. Jude 20 says, building up yourselves. It didn't say building up your faith. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You're building yourself. You're not building your faith by praying the Holy Ghost. No. Prayer and the word of God are two different things. What you get from prayer, you cannot get from the word of God. And then what you get from the word of God, you cannot get in prayer. They have their separate benefits. In Acts chapter 6, the apostle said, we'll give ourselves completely to prayer and the word of God. It's two different things. It's two different things. I heard a story about Kenneth Hagin. How, you know, he was going through, you know, financial struggles, you know, in his family. And, you know, some of the members of the family were, you know, going through health challenges and all that. And he went to God in prayer. And he told God and said, you know, God, this is what's happening and I'm going to pray through. Now, there is that part of prayer where you pray till you get a note of victory, but not in this case. Not when it has to do with something that the will of God is already known. And he told God, he said, I'm going to pray through and all that. I know Kenneth Hagin, he can pray long in tongues. He prayed for 1 hour. And after 1 hour, God asked him and said, okay, what are you doing? And he said, God, this was happening, and I'm going to pray through. I'm going to pray through, and you know, all of that kind of thing. And he prayed for another hour. Nothing. And then he prayed for another hour again. 3 hours in tongues. Wow, amazing. You see, but that didn't get, you know, the family healing. That didn't change the financial situation, the family. But you see, he did something to him. He edified himself, Abby. That's what scripture says. That when you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. He did that to him. But with respect to why he went to God in prayer, nothing was done about that. And then, you know, God, you know, asked him and said, what are you doing? And he said, God, this is it, this is it, this is that. And then God said, don't you know what my word says? Like, don't you know what the word of God says concerning the situation? Don't you trust my word? And they are trying to pray to receive this. That's another thing entirely. And all that. And then, you know, when he got that revelation, he went back to the word and he prayed. He believed God for their healing, believed God for a financial turnaround, and then things turned around in his family. The essence is that prayer and the word of God and the study of the word of God, you know, produce two separate benefits. Hallelujah. Now, from what we read, faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing by the word of God. The source of faith is the word of God, please. The source of faith is the word of God. And it's a continual hearing. It's a continual hearing. It's a consistent hearing. That's why I said earlier that you can't get to a certain point in your life where you say, oh, I have all the faith I need. I'm going to stop reading my Bible. I'm going to stop going to church. And things like that. You're endangering yourself. You're doing yourself a great disservice. Faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing by the word of God. Let's go to the third one. Why your faith may not work. Why your faith may not work. Firstly, let's read 1 Corinthians 13. I believe from verse 1 to 3, and then Galatians 5, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 13. I'll read that in the Amplified Classic. 1 Corinthians 13. It says, if I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, look at it there, sufficient faith, so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. Verse 3, even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned or in order that I may glory, but have no love, God's love in me, it says, I gain nothing. Now, the faith that will work is a faith that is empowered by the love of God. Galatians 5 and verse 6, we see that very clearly there. Galatians 5, 6. The KJV says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Our faith will only deliver to the level of our love for God. Our faith will only deliver to the level of our love for God, not love for things, not love for glory, love for power, not love for money, love for material resources. Our faith will only deliver to the level of our love for God. And let me say this here. If you think you're doing everything right, if you think you're getting it right when it comes to, you know, faith and all that, and, you know, you're believing God right, you're saying confessions and all that, and nothing is working, maybe you should actually check your love life. Maybe. Actually, I think that we should do a daily assessment on our love walk, like every day. Okay, God, what happened today and all that? Maybe we should do a daily assessment, because it can, when we don't have love, when our faith is not backed up by love, that endangers the faith and all that, and it will never work. The faith that will always work is a faith that is empowered by the love of God. For example, are you walking in unforgiveness? Do you have, you know, unforgiveness in your hearts? Are you holding grudges against someone and all that? Do you have offense in your heart? This issue of offense is actually very, very vital. It's very vital. I think it's John Bevere that said that it is Satan's bait. It's very, very vital. This issue of offense is very vital. What are the things you do? Are they backed up by the love of God? are they backed up by the love of God? The reason you're doing what you're doing, the reason you're coming to church and serving in different departments, is it backed up? Is it because you love God? Is it backed up by the love of God? Or is for glory, recognition, popularity, and all of those things? Or is for eye service? Or just because you want to please men? And look at what, the day I actually came across the scripture, really I was scared. Look at what Paul said in Galatians 1 and 10. I think I should read in the Amplified Classic. Galatians 1:10. It says, now, am I trying to win the favor of men or of God? Do I seek to please men? If I were still seeking popularity with men, I should not be a born servant of Christ, the Messiah. Look at Paul's words. That if everything I do has to do with pleasing men, then he says, I'm not worthy to be a servant of Christ. I'm not worthy to be a slave of Christ. I'm not worthy to be a bond servant of Christ. Why are you doing the things you do? You need to check your motive. Is it empowered by love? Is it empowered by love? Let me quickly go ahead. My time is going. Also, another reason why your faith will fail is because there's no corresponding actions. And we see that clearly in James 2. He says, for without faith is important. Sorry. He said, how does James 2 say it again? How did James say it again? That's not what James says. Faith without works is dead. Thank you, sir. Sorry, that lets my head for a while. Faith without works is dead. We see that. Let me quickly move to the last part. How to get your faith working. How to get your faith working. Let's quickly read. I have about 4 scriptures here. But let's quickly read Mark 11:23. Mark 11 and verse 23. Mark 11:23. Mark 11:23. Okay, it says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Let's look, and I'll come back to this scripture. Let's look at Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Proverbs 18:21. He said, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 6. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 6 says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore God should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Your mouth. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the works of thy hands? 2 Corinthians 4:13. Before we go back to Mark 11:23, 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. He says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. We also believe and therefore we speak. See, you make your faith, you get your faith working by speaking the word of God with your mouth. You get your faith working by, it doesn't end in the hearts. Scripture says in Romans 10 and 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You get your faith working by speaking the word of God with your mouth. Moses told Joshua, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You keep speaking it. You keep speaking it. You keep speaking it. You keep speaking it. Because a closed mouth is a closed destiny. You keep speaking the word of God. That's how you get your faith working. Look at, I'm not going to say the whole thing, but you see, when you go back to Mark, let's just go back there. Let's see something. Because Kenneth Hagin had a vision and all that. And then God pointed his attention to something in that scripture. Let's look at it. And Kenneth Copeland also said that, say it 3 times more than you believe it. In other words, you keep speaking. It's very possible that at the initial stage, you don't really believe this thing. Like, your hold on that thing is not that firm. But you see, if you continue speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking, that thing registers in your heart. Because why? When you speak, you actually hear what you speak. And faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing by the word of God. Look at what God showed Kenneth Hagin. And let's look at it. He says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say..." Now the first say there, Jesus was saying, "Verily I say unto you." Let's go ahead. "That whosoever shall say unto this mountain..." Whosoever shall say. Now that's one say that we have there now. "Unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe..." Now we have one believe. We have one say now, and one believe. "Believe that those things which he saith..." Now we have the second say. "What things..." "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain..." The first say, "Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith..." Now we have two says now, and one believe. "Shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." We have three says now, and one believe. Say it more than you believe it. God told Kenneth Hagin, he said, Christians are not missing it in the believing part, but they're actually missing it in the speaking part. We think that faith just, you know, ends, you know, in our hearts. No. There's a speaking part. There's a speaking part. And Kenneth Copeland said, "Say it three times as much as you believe it. Say it three times and as much as you believe it." And say, you can talk your way out of victory. You can talk your way into victory. You can talk your way out of victory. You can talk your way out of defeat. You can talk your way into defeat. And words make or break. Everything you say counts, either counts for you or counts against you. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 6 that we read said that don't say before the angel that it was an arrow. Now I see this is what happens. Let me give a brief illustration. For example, you are believing God for a job, and let's say this is your scripture, Mark 11:23. "What things whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that these things that he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said." Right? That's your scripture. That's your anchor scripture for maybe a job, for example, and all that. And you know, you're praying the prayer of faith, you know, every day. "I believe that according to this word, I have my job now in the name of Jesus." And you keep confessing. Now this is what happens. The more you keep confessing, the more that thing comes, you know, towards you. The more the job comes towards you. But let's say one day, one of your friends that likes talking about politics and likes talking about Nigerian problem just comes to your house and say, "Oga Alpha, my idea. You see this Nigerian thing there, this election thing there. Which kind thing be this one now? How far now? What's in the happen? This Nigeria, blah, 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 blah." I know when you hear all those things, sometimes your faith can just be weak. And just, yeah, I see my guy, I don't even know what's happening. I'm believing God for a job, but see, I don't tire myself. See, the moment you actually say that thing, that thing goes farther away from you. That's how these things work. So the more you say it, the more you speak the word of God in a certain situation, the more that thing comes towards you. But you see, when you change your confession, it goes back. That's what happens. Everything you say works for or against you. And you see, the battle that we are in, the battle of the kingdom, it's a battle for words, or a battle of words. You don't answer the temptation of Jesus. The devil came and said, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Now that was in the realm of thoughts. But you see, some of us, when that thing comes, we answer with our imagination. We answer with our thoughts. It's not a thought for thought answer. The Bible says that Jesus said, it is written. He spoke the word of God back to him with his mouth. He didn't say it in the realm of his thoughts. Word of God says it's written. No, he said it with his mouth. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He spoke back the word of God to him. We're in a kingdom where we are, is a battle for words. And let me show us a scripture. In 1 Samuel 17, from verse 33. I won't read everything because my time is almost up. 1 Samuel 17 from verse 33. Now we're told that the Philistines, and you know, they had this champion Goliath that kept taunting the Israelites for a good 40 days. He kept taunting them with words. He kept 40 days. That thing weakened the Israelites, weakened even their soldiers, the Israeli army. It weakened them. They could not do anything and all that. But see what happened in verse 33. He says, and Saul said to David, now look at Saul now, he's saying, right? He said, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Now, was Saul lying? Really, he wasn't. Because you are coming against Goliath, that is the champion of the champions of the soldiers in the Philistine army. And you are just, what have you done? Really, what have you done? Where are your records? And things like that. But you see, that's somebody else's reality. That's not your own reality. Your reality is the word of God. And David said unto Saul, he said, thy servant, he told him, Abeg, shut up, that's not the point here. He said, thy servant kept his servant sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this own, I love this part. He said, this own, who is this person? You don't even have a covenant with God. This uncircumcised Philistine. Who gave you the audacity to challenge the chosen of God? He said, this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that you have crossed your boundary, and this day you will die. He says, he will be as one of them, seeing that he had defied the armies of the living God. Now let's go to verse 41. He says, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about, in other words, he was looking at where's the person that wants to challenge me. Maybe he was looking to see somebody of his size. And then he saw the and he said, who is this person? And he said, when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said, now this is a battle for words again now, or a battle of words. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staffs? And the Philistine crossed David by his gods. Now this is what he kept telling and telling and telling the Israeli army, that they ran away, they were weak in the knees. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then again said David, don't allow the devil to talk you down. Always speak the word of God back. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. He said, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And he said, he said, this day, faith is now, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. I will give thee the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day, unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. We know what happened. Goliath died that day. He died that day. It's a battle of words. Do not allow the devil to talk you down. Always respond, always speak the word of God. And what are the things, as I close here, what are the things that we are supposed to confess? What are the things that we're supposed to say? And you see, some of us are so sin conscious that everything we do when we come before God is to confess our sins. Yeah, some of us are like that. Actually, I used to be like that too. And all that. So I know that some of us are like that. Everything that we do is God forgive me. God forgive. You always do something, you always ask for forgiveness. Nothing wrong in that. Nothing wrong in doing that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But you see, that won't get you anywhere. What are the things you're supposed to confess? You're supposed to confess your identity in Christ, in the light of the word of God, in the light of the new covenant, in the light of the epistles. Who are you in Christ? That's what you are supposed to confess. What are the things that God has given you the ability to do? That I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. What are the things? Confess who you are in Christ. Confess the abilities that are in you in Christ. Confess what God is going to do to you. You see, because our confessions make or determine our reality. Our confessions fix our boundary. Our confessions fix our boundary. Our confessions speak our boundary. Don't be quiet. Don't be quiet. Don't be quiet. Hallelujah. Don't be quiet. Don't be quiet. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are God's beloved. Don't be quiet. Don't be quiet. Don't be quiet. Our confessions speak and determine our reality. Our confessions speak and determine our reality. I'll say that again. Our confessions determine our reality. They fix the landmark of our lives. They fix the landmarks of our lives. You see, you are where you are today because of the how and the way and the things that you confessed yesterday. How about you start changing your future today? How about you start speaking words into your future today? How about you start seeing yourself in the light of your epistles? How about you start confessing who you are in Christ, your identity in Christ, what you can do, the things that God has done in Christ? How about you start doing that? Hallelujah. Can we just lift our hands to God as we just bless Him? Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.